I think I've said this before in this place. That's enough of this. Let us turn to the confession and forgiveness on page 10 in the front of our worship book. Did it go off again? It's on. Okay. Almighty God, in whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us search ourselves in a moment of silent prayer. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The prayer of the day we pray together. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. A time for everything. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to rebuild, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak up, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
And Aaron? Come on. What? It's been a little while. And Lisa, she was like this. And you were like, well, like Lisa, I guess. Hey, hi. Well, I don't know if I can still do this. I'm a little bit scared. Haven't done this for a long time. Who was your pastor before? Pastor Mike, yeah. And he was, boy, he really had a lot of energy, didn't he? Yeah? He was, I worshiped here a few times, so I know how full of energy he was. You know, I'm a lot older than Pastor Mike. And I don't have that kind of energy. But you know what I found in his desk when I came? I found 5-hour energy. That was in Pastor Mike's desk. And when I was here last year, he said it was the coffee that was doing it to him. I got to looking at this, and it says expiration date 7/13. 63 years ago. So maybe Pastor Mike wasn't using this stuff. Hey, Ty, maybe you need that for your next flight. I once was in a country where they didn't speak English like we talk. I couldn't understand what they said. But you know one thing they did many times to me? They went like this. Do you know what that means? They would go like that. Come on, you can all do that. That was their way of saying what? I love you. And so that's what I want to tell you kids today. Some of you I've known way back, but I want you to know that I love you, but that there's somebody even more important who loves you. And who's that? Huh? Jesus loves us. And so I love to sing this song with little kids. And I'm going to ask mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and everybody to sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let's pray, and you say the words after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for our mommies and daddies, our grandmas and grandpas who love us. In Jesus' name, amen. And then Ty, behind you, there's the cookie thing on the floor. Yeah. And one of the wonderful women in our church made you a heart. There you go. There you go. Good. Okay, you may go back to your... As you notice by the bulletin is next Sunday's bulletin. And the reason for that was because I had my sermon all ready to go for today. But obviously, it didn't fit today. So you're going to get today's sermon next Sunday. It gives me more fishing time, you know? I don't have to work so hard on the sermon for next Sunday because I've got it fairly well done already. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. I guess we've experienced some of the imperfect. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And here it really hits me and hits us. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall fully understand the word of our Lord. Let us sing a hymn before the sermon, Precious Lord. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. In this volatile election year, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican, there is one thing we can all agree upon. Sermons aren't especially memorable. Well, some of the songs we sing sometimes indelibly touch our hearts, making them most memorable and unforgettable. Not so with sermons. A pastor once told me, seldom if ever had he ever heard someone leaving a worship service humming the sermon. I know my wife, Marianne, some of you know her and some of you have yet to meet her. We have difficulty remembering and sometimes can only say on our ride home from church when one asks the other, well, what'd you think about the sermon? Replies are often vague, nondescript, like, oh, it was good, or, oh, it was okay, or sort of so-so this morning. And so I can approach my second go-around with many of you, and first for some of you whom I have yet to meet, using some of my old stories. That you've forgotten, and which I may also have forgotten, but might embellish. Not remembering if I've used them here before to illustrate a sermon. So here goes. As a ninth grader, like Catherine, I survived a car accident in which two were killed. It happened on a Sunday, riding home from church with our neighbors because my parents had chosen to skip church that particular Sunday morning. It was during my confirmation years, and my pastor, being an okay guy, he used to play ping pong with us and beat us. He helped me through that tragedy. The Saturday after the accident, when confirmation class was over, he came to me and said, Al, I want to go for a walk with you and talk about what happened last Sunday. He told me that because others were killed and I wasn't, that perhaps God spared me for a purpose, suggesting perhaps that I should consider some full-time Christian work, as maybe becoming a pastor or a missionary. At that time, I didn't understand that being a full-time Christian worker excluded being a farmer, like my dad, or a teacher, or a fisherman, or a wife who spent her career in the home. Anyway, from that point on, as a ninth grader, I turned a deaf ear to my father's wish that I should follow him on the farm and be a full-time farmer Christian, focusing rather to follow in the steps of my pastor. I know that Pastor Hinderacher had my best interests at heart, a man whom I revered almost as much as God. But what I didn't know or understand at that time was that Pastor Hinderacher was theologically wrong. He was off base, not only about whom he defined as full-time Christian workers, but equally wrong about the theology of life and death. If God spared me, then why didn't he spare Earl, the driver of that brand spanking new 49 Chevy, hard to get post-World War II car? Some of you go back to those days and remember that. My dad's car, post-World War II, was bought on the black market. But that's another story, and if Mike were here, he might go that way. So back to where I'm trying to get. If God spared me, then logically and theologically, the opposite is true of Earl. That God didn't spare him, or the child in the other car which we hit, but took them, pointing his finger at Earl, saying it was Earl's time, as the expression goes. You've heard it. And also at the innocent little child, just starting out in life, while at the same time not pointing his finger at me, also a child, also just starting out, saying it was not my time, as the expression goes. God isn't in the business of taking a young husband from his young wife. God isn't in the business of taking a father, Earl, away from his children. God isn't in the business of taking a child in the other car from its parents. God simply isn't that kind of a God. I am so thankful that I'm a Lutheran. It's okay to be something else. There are lots of Christians who aren't Lutherans, and that's fine, and I can say praise the Lord for that. But I love being a Christian flavored by Lutheran theology because of the clarity and depth of our doctrine, of our understanding of God, of who God is, and of how God works. Captured in the words of the historic Apostles' Creed, which we together are going to confess this morning, is this profound theological truth, which we habitually say and sometimes pass over the depth of what we're saying. I believe in God the Father Almighty. What? Say it again.
Creator.
You're saying creator, that's a new version. I like maker. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There it is. There it is. God is our maker, not our taker. God is our maker, not our taker. God made four beautiful young people who grew up in Petersburg, only one of whom I knew, all of them hardly more than kids, one boy, three girls. All four of them, just like us, live in a fallen world, a world of imperfection, a world where stuff happens. Some people call it crap. Accidents. Stuff begging for rational explanation. But leaving us with only this explanation, like of all people, the Apostle Paul, that we understand that we don't understand. Leaving us only with this explanation that at best we understand that we don't understand the stuff that happens, the awful stuff. The Apostle Paul, I read it. You heard it already a couple times this morning. Then we shall understand fully. Then, not now. Like it or not, that's the Apostle Paul's stance. And I'm with him on that. Then we shall understand fully. Then. Not now. Try and make sense of what happened one day short of 2 weeks ago, early morning the 4th. None of it makes sense. None of it. Death to two young people, it's beyond our understanding. None of it makes sense that two should die and two not. The only explanation I, as a Christian, can come up with is to understand that I don't understand. And that's okay. And that's okay. I can live with that. I can embrace and be embraced by, of all people, the Apostle Paul, who couldn't understand either. There's lots of stuff I don't understand. It's called faith. Luther nailed it when he wrote in response to the first article of faith, I believe that God has created me and all that exists. He's the maker. I don't understand how all that happens. Life. But I have it. And I love it. And I believe that is God's gift. Luther nailed it again when he wrote, I cannot by my own reason and strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. I don't understand it. How all this happened to me? Faith? Knowing that many walk the same streets that I walk without it, but that I have it. I don't understand how it happened to me. Why me and why not someone else? Faith? But that's okay, because I don't have to understand everything. Just believe it. And I believe it. It's called faith. It's called trust. Faith, trust, and belief in God. In a God whom we have never seen, but in a God whom we know exists somewhere, someplace. A God who is our what? Our maker and not our taker. And that now we can see in a mirror how? Dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know what in heart, then I shall understand fully. I have. Excuse me. Marianne and I have an eighth grader, an eighth great granddaughter. She's in her confirmation years now. When we said goodbye after celebrating the fourth together, just 2 short weeks ago, she hugged me and said, "Grandpa, I'll be praying for you and the people of Petersburg." That's the good news I bring to you today. You're not alone in what you've gone through and in what you are going through. Her name is Ava, and she's praying to God to take care of you and me. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for having made us and for having kept us safe. Safe in your grace, physically safe, safe while others have not been so lucky. Thank you, God, that we can walk the streets of this community knowing that we have a God who cares for us, who loves us. Help us to care for one another because you have cared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "There is a balm in Gilead."